boys and girls, it is playoff time.
Larson has the advantage. Here comes the 18. He puts the ball back.
16 drivers battle for NASCAR's ultimate prize, but only one will be called champion.
And there's the gap between one and two. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Under the lights of the nighttime sky on the beaches of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Time to put your armor on, tighten those seatbelts, because we're about to go three wide on the track.
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way.
Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. That is yours truly, Eddie Greer III. Here with you guys on this Thursday, October 25th, 2018. Days away, really actually one more day until the official weekend, and yes, we're getting closer to the first round of the opener of the round of 8, aka the Elite 8 of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. The field started the 16, and we're down to 8. Alex Bowman, Jimmy Johnson, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon were eliminated in round 1. In this round, well, actually, it's an... check that. I'm looking at the order of where these elimination guys have fallen at. Well, let's just go back real quick to those who got eliminated last week. Blaney, Bowman, for sure, Brad Keselowski, and Kyle Larson. And then going back to the opening round, Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, Eric Jones, and Austin Dillon. There we go, folks. We are caught up now to those who got eliminated. And we're now, ladies and gents, we are down to just 8 drivers in this thing. And it kicks off in the VA on Sunday. A 2-day stop for the Monster Energy Cup, Monster Energy Gaia guys. And no activity tomorrow. And I just said that also the trucks resume action in their playoffs. They kick off their second round of the playoffs as well in the Cable World Truck Series as well. Big D hanging out with me for a little bit this evening on this rainy, chilly, rainy day in the Little Apple of Manhattan, Kansas. Really, pretty much half the state is in rain once again, but Cup Series and Truck Series will be raining down the parade postseason party in the VA while the Xfinity Series take their final off week. And guys, as we look at the grid here for a few minutes tonight, a Ford Brigade over half this Elite 8 field is covered in the blue oval. That includes all the Stewart Haas cars and Joey Logano for Penske Racing. And then you got the two Toyotas of Joe Gibbs Racing's Kyle Busch and the final season Furniture Row Racing's Martin Truex Jr., defending champ of the series, for right now still in the mix. And the only Chevy who's riding all that momentum right now, the young gunner Chase Elliott, winning 2 of 3 races in the round of 12, capitalizing on Stewart Haas Racing's, or more likely, Kevin Harvick's mistakes, or whatever it is. Chase Elliott continuing to man up and get on the wheel and finish off races that he should win, and he's continuing to do that. And like I said in the post-race podcast episode earlier this week, if you have not checked that out, I encourage you to do that as you get ready for what looks like to be another thriller in Virginia. Get on that and also listen to this. This will go up immediately tonight following the conclusion of this episode. And if you would have told me, we're going to start at the bottom of the totem pole, if you will, for this round. Eric Amarola. You would have told me he would have made it to the 8th. I would have told you he had no chance in hell to do that. But Eric Amarola, a golden opportunity for him in his career to to try to skyrocket that a little bit, and he has finally capitalized on that no matter how it is. Eric Almirola getting that elusive victory to snap an 140-plus race winless streak, and all of a sudden we find him in the round of eight, and he is a win away from possibly competing for the ultimate prize in Miami. Almirola is the eight seed, obviously, going into this thing with three top fives, 14 top tens, and he's led 181 laps and has the least amount of playoff points coming into this thing, six. But he's with, I believe, if I look at the playoff sheet correctly here, Big D, he was like some 12 points out from the fourth spot of Chase Elliott, who sits on the final transfer spot heading into this weekend. So the points reset, and Almirola, if that team continues to do what it's been doing, who knows what the hell, what's going to happen. And you have big-time players out of this thing, like a Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin. All that attention is on them. You know, only one of them can win, though. You know, they're both winless. It's been well-documented here lately all over the podcast world, including this one, that they have each won a race since they've been in the Cup Series, since their rookie year, winning in their respective rookie seasons, and now you're on the verge of not winning. So one of those guys could potentially upset the playoff field and win, but at the same time, like I talked about earlier this week, I just don't know if that's going to happen, because even with, you know, some of the other players in there, a Brad Keselowski, I give him a better chance, even though he's already in the win column this year. Prior to these guys, Kyle Larson, you could throw him in the winless mix as well. Who would have thought that Kyle Larson, after four wins last year, would be sitting here eliminated from the playoffs once again? And not only that, you had another goose egg in here, no wins. And chance of him having a win is probably, you might as well look at Homestead, even though he's not in the championship mix. But Eric Almirola has exceeded all expectations, and then some. This guy is still on cloud nine. I believe finished in the top 10 last week in Kansas. Yeah, my memory might have gone a little shallow here. A little bit. You did. Big D confirms it. 10th exactly for Almirola in last week's Hollywood Casino 400 playoff race. Moving up the board a little bit, Kurt Busch. This guy escaped elimination last week thanks to Ryan Blaney tacking in a wall a little bit late, and him fading was Kurt Busch's game. And remember, at Talladega, Busch was in position to win Talladega before the few ran out, and then the whining started because there was obviously the crash at the end behind those guys, and Kurt Busch did not get the caution that he was hoping for. Otherwise, only thing he was whining about, because he didn't win and he was out front when Matt DiBenedetto attacked the wall hard. But Kurt Busch is in the final eight here. Six top fives, 19 top tens, has five poles. He's led almost 600 laps, exactly 592. Comes in tied with 15 playoff points. He's one of three right there in that mix. And he's an intriguing fellow here coming in here, because I believe here his only shot, or actually I might add two when I'm thinking about it. Obviously you got Martinsville. He's won here before. And not only that, Kurt Busch is pretty good at Phoenix, like his dominating teammate Kevin Harvick is, who has owned ISM Raceway, a.k.a. Phoenix Raceway. Yes, everything has changed. It's going to be looking, the start-finish line has changed that dog leg. I'm very anxious to see the layout. But other than that, though, Kurt Busch has two chances to get it done. I don't know if he can get it done at Texas, but when I look at the round of eight tracks, obviously it's been the same ever since the beginning of this playoff format. You got these two. Kurt Busch kind of been the fallen compartment guy here. Nobody's really talked about him, but he's a threat here to win at this track, especially this weekend. Obviously, for those of you just tuning in, if you're first-time listeners of this podcast, we're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR postseason style. We're in playoff mode still of the K-World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and, of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, EG3. Here with you guys, hanging out for a little bit with you all tonight on this special stage break weekly edition, focusing on the eight drivers here in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. As we get closer to the weekend and get closer to the start of this probably most intensive round, other than, of course, the Championship Four here coming up next month. But Kurt Busch sitting there, you know, looking to rebound. And again, the theory for this team is mistakes across the board, in my opinion. If these guys are going to make any upset way and to try to knock off, obviously, one or maybe two big threes. And no, like I've been saying, I know I'm trying to go off around. I've been saying to you, Big D, I've been saying to a couple others. I mean, nobody's really talked about the fact that, you know, two winners, there's a possibility of three different winners. And yes, obviously, every year in this format, we've had a non-playoff driver win. I believe in every year, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, last year's Matt Kenseth. The year before that, it was Jimmy Johnson. And, yeah, the beat goes on from there. So there's that possibility that you can get two open spots via points. But at the same time, you know, what if we get three different winners who are playoff drivers and two of them are not in the big three discussion? And so everybody, excuse me, we'll get to them. I'm just saying, I've been bringing that up pretty much here and there. I'm probably the only person guys talked about that. Everybody else, it just assumes that, yes, you know, Harvick, Kyle Busch, you had definite locks on paper to get the homestead, exactly. But what if those guys don't win? I mean, I'm thinking, I'm probably thinking devil's advocate all the time. But here's the situation, you know, while I'm on it, you know, what if these guys, you know, don't win and one of them has a problem? Really, two of them have a problem. You throw in Martin Truex in there also. Doesn't have quite the amount of points, but has a decent amount of points. I'm just saying. And here's the other guy who's pretty good at Martinsville. Joey Logano, the other non-Stuart Haas Racing Ford in this thing. He has been awfully consistent. Finished in the top 10th. Finished 7th last week in Kansas City. 6th seed Logano, who scored his first pole of the year. Let me check that real quick. Yes, sir. First pole of the season last week. 10 top 5s. And you got 23 top 10s in here. Logano, he's almost led 500 laps this year. His exact number, 491. And he is part of that trio with 15 playoff points. The other is Clint Boyer. We'll touch on him shortly. Logano, I believe this is a chance for him to open that can of worms and get in, because I don't think he can get in at Texas, even though he's shown that the speed. And actually, again, he's like Kurt Busch, in my opinion. I think he can get here or Phoenix, because he did win Phoenix a couple years ago to get into the Final Four a year ago. Not a year ago, 2 years ago, I believe, was the last time Logano won at ISM Raceway. So, I mean, he's an intriguing fella going in here as well. He knows how to get around. He's led a ton of laps at this track, but yet to win here. And, oh boy, what a win here would get him to homestead. And, of course, to talk about Clint Boyer, he is the first outside the cut line and the last to have 15 playoff points. And, obviously, staring at this guy, because why? The last time we're here, that snow out in the Virginia, Clint Boyer took control of the race in the spring and ran away with it in breaking his 160-plus winless streak. So Boyer dodged a bullet in KC there. And I think this is an opportunity for Clint Boyer. and maybe his only shot to get it. I don't think, again, Texas, I'm just not so sure about that. Phoenix, maybe, but this is, if you want to rank the tracks, Boyer, for sure, without a doubt. He knows how to get around here. He's running top five. He knows how to lead laps. If he equals that, and also, while I'm thinking about this, I read a stat earlier before hopping on the mic here tonight. Nobody's repeated at Martinsville since 2010. So that's a number to keep an eye on. And Boyer, definitely, with the speed that Stuart Haas race cars have been bringing to the racetrack all year long, going back to Daytona, but going back to Atlanta this year, I mean, there's no reason why you would think that, you know, Boyer, you know, he's going to have confidence going here with points reset. And again, stage points is going to be critical. Look at the gap from Elliott. Even you to count Almirola in here too, even though he's 12 out. That's well within distance for Almirola to make up, especially you can score stage points here. And oh, and I talked about this earlier this week on the post race pod of Kansas. You know, the mistakes are going to be magnified in this round. You cannot have a mistake or something out of control happen to you. If it does, then you're pretty much going to be in what must win mode. That's how big this is here. And given, you know, these races at Martinsville that we have witnessed in the past last couple of three seasons in the playoffs, something crazy is going to go down. I just don't know what it is yet, or who, or whatever. I just got that feeling this week that something magnificent is going to happen, and this is going to be the turning point of these playoffs. We see it last year. Obviously, y'all know what went down between Chase and Denny last year, which pretty much turned the confidence builder around for Chase Elliott, and why he's been up on the wheel, closing these races out, and stepping to the plate and hitting home runs, knocking them out of ballpark. Like, for example, in a round of 12, Chase Elliott took advantage of the mistakes and ran away with those things. In this case, the year before that, I believe it was Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth, that turned the thing upside down as well. And then the year before that, Jeff Gordon. I might be missing a year or something, but I believe it's in that order. We've seen it all, the Big D. I mean, big moments, big turning point moments have happened in this racetrack, in this playoff race. So, and I just don't see why it could happen here this year. The reason, the fact that a turning point could happen, and it could elevate somebody to Miami, or at the same time knock somebody out of Miami for a chance for a championship. So this is within striking distance. And speaking of Chase Elliott, he has the final transfer spot from Hendrick Motorsports. Of course, he's the last time the Cup guys were on track, winning at Kansas, leading the last 44 laps, and pouncing on the Harvick penalty. Elliott has the momentum right now. 11 top 5s total, 18 top 10s. And look at the laps led here. Probably the second least here, obviously, Almirola and laps led, 309. But the most important thing, though, is that win column. And that's what's going to be, that's the most important thing at this stage of the game, ladies and gentlemen. You got to win to make it to Miami. Elliott has done just that. And he is the only Chevy. If you would have thought about that, at least you would have at least one more Chevy, maybe two. But that has not happened for this group. And Elliott and Alan Gustafson knows how to win at this racetrack. Oh, by the way, and we should, for those of you who don't know, we should already know he's successful at this racetrack. And there's no telling. Elliott knows how to get around here, and he looks, one more win, he's in the Final Four in Miami in the well-documented Big Three in the round of 8. Martin Truex Jr., the 2017 champ, looking to get back to Miami to defend that crown from a year ago, escaped with a fifth place finish to wrap up the round of 12. They're going to have to step it up here. And with everything that's gone on, and a lot of people kind of looking at this team as the odd man out, obviously, of to be left out of Miami. We'll have to see about that. But look at this. This is, I'm all in this. Look at this. Top fives, top tens are the exact same. He has not had a finish of 6th through 10th this year. This is a top five team, obviously. And it's the stats back it up. And he should have more wins on that win column, but he does not because of getting mistakes or being caught up in somebody else's mess, which you cannot afford to do in this round. And Martin knows that. This team, Cole Pern, they know they've been in this stage of the game before, so they don't need my advice. But hey, you know, this, and oh, by the way, he's 30 laps away from 1,000 for the third consecutive season. He's the exact number he has led, 970 this year. Laps led for Martin Truex Jr., MTJ of Furniture Racing. And we don't need to address the elephant in the room, obviously, with the remainder of silly season, which is yet to be determined. We'll see how far Truex and Kurt Busch and those guys go in this round. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward for them to step it up, and I'm very optimistic of Martinsville, because this is a track right here that Martin used to run shitty at this racetrack, Big D. And I think since Cole Pern taking to him, they have really worked on this racetrack. They finished 4th in the spring, and they got a pole here a couple years ago. I think that pole back a couple years ago, when after they got eliminated from Talladega a couple years ago, I think they are getting closer to that short track run. Everybody said 0-for-40 something or whatever that number, that stupid number is for Truex, the short track. I believe their short track program they showed something at Bristol. I think they really improved. I know the team obviously shutting down, unfortunately, but they've really improved their short track program, and they were quick in the practices in the springtime. So if they don't load on top of their game, none of this cases stuff, you know, they were struggling, no grip on the racetrack, things like that. They don't load, that's the key. You know, that's the key every week. You got to unload with a fast race car. So they unload quick here. They're going to have a chance here to make something happen. Obviously, they finished 2nd last year to Rowdy Bush, which is the next guy. Actually, it's Kevin Harvick. Obviously, Mr. Closer, who have not been able to close races here in these playoffs. Obviously, locked up with Kyle Busch for the most wins still this year in 2018. Harvick, 20 top fives, 25 top tens. And the laps led, holy cow, 1,682 to Kyle Busch's 1,231 in the playoff points. Circle them, Big D. Harvick, 54. Kyle Busch, one better, 55. So, Martin Truex Jr. is a perfect example. Last year, he was really, really consistent, even though he had that a cushion like, well, it was not nothing like Harvick or Kyle Busch's, but he still was able to run top fives and gather stage points, which is going to be the name of the game. And of course, who gets in trouble early is going to really impact things here. But Kevin Harvick, round of 12, should have won Dover and should have won Kansas. And my buddy, part of our posse that we go to the races with in KC, said to me that Chase, I mean, I know people probably can get upset with this comment, but this is what he said, though. I didn't say it. He said it. You know, Chase Elliott had been getting lucky, you know, winning races, hadn't been fast enough to win the race. to win these races. Harvick should have won them. And yeah, logically, yeah, Kevin Harvick should have won both of those. But, you know, it's a game. You got to rate. Hey, you can't play it on paper. You got to go out there and execute, do what you got to do to win these races. And this, and for whatever reason, you know, and it, I got caught up with the podcast on NASCAR America, and they hit the nail on the head. You can't make mistakes at this juncture of the game. I mean, yeah, you can gather stage points 1 and 2, and really, Harvick don't really need it, but if it's championship for Miami setting, you can't have that mistake, especially late in the race. And again, we've seen this common and common, not just this year. This has happened more commonly or not since Kevin Harvick has been with his organization. Mistakes. And Harvick, yeah, man, he should have 10 wins by now, really, the way that he is stepped on the throat on the competition. But he's still stuck on 7 with Kyle Busch, the other big three, the guy right there who's been kind of been on and off in his in these playoffs as well. He's going to be one of those favorites this year, and he's defending winner of last year's Martinsville primetime race, which was pretty intense from the get-go, and it got crazy late with all the wrecking going on there. So Harvick, yeah, he's going to be a definite lock to get to Miami, but again, you're going to have to pay it on paper. And we'll see what cards unfold for all of these guys beginning on Sunday. And of course, your number one seed still, Kyle Busch in there. Kyle Busch, we mentioned his lap sled already. Big D, 19 top fives, 25 top tens, and he is the only of the big three member to win in these playoffs. The rest of it has gone to young gunners, just like Blaney, Elliott, Amarola. Yeah, so, and now you throw in the possibility of a non-playoff driver winning now. Keselowski is a big threat, especially at Martinsville. And we already documented Jimmy Johnson's success here in Denny Hamlin. But I'm still sticking to my original theory. I just don't know about specifically the 48 and the 11. The two, yes, I've said it multiple times this week. I think the two has a better chance to redeem himself. You know, he was the hottest cat coming into the playoffs, and now he's out looking at the rest of the fun at the eight drivers. So, looking at this field from top to the bottom here, you know, four is going to move on for an opportunity for a chance at a championship, and the other four will be racing for fifth place in Miami. All the others will be racing for the ultimate prize for a championship. So, but looking at these numbers here real quick, thank you for tuning in to listen to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3 Stage Break Edition of the podcast. Since these numbers only go back to 2016, but when you look at the average finish here, and look who's on the bottom on the chart here. Eric Almirola, worst finish. Kurt Busch right above him at 21st. And looking up some more here, next you find Chase Elliott up there. And this is back to 2016. Elliott with an average finish of 14th. Harvick. And I kind of put this out there on the post-race pod this week. Harvick, an average finish of 13.2. The Boyers, 12.8. Logano, average 10th place finish. Martin Truex, I talked about the improvement. I'm very optimistic. Average finish of 9th. And Kyle Busch, almost with a 2nd place. I might have missed somebody in there. I might have got everybody. Let's see. Yes, I did. So, if I did, you can let me know. But yeah, I'm just looking at just that, focusing on the last few races here. And yeah, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin, they've won here. But and the numbers say otherwise, yeah. And my point proves, the stats prove my point. Keselowski up there in the mix, and will not be surprised. And if I were, obviously, Martin Truex Jr., if I were him, obviously, you're running for possibly. If you can run good, if you can get off to a good start, have one of those guys win, maybe even get two in there to have a chance in there. But again, my logical thinking says possibly one in the history says one playoff, non-playoff driver will win in this round. And in prime history, actually, it says either it happened at Texas or in ISM Raceway. So how about that? Yeah, I just thought about that, Big D. Just now, my history thinking cap on. I mean, no plow driver is able to win here. Maybe you can go back to Dale Earnhardt Jr. a few years ago when he was knocked out of the playoffs and he bounced back. That's the last time a non-playoff driver has won, by the way. I think if my stats are right, Dale Earnhardt Jr. finally captured a win at Martinsville a few years ago over Jeff Gordon. So, I'm throwing a lot at you guys. Probably haven't even heard of this, but hey, I'm just throwing it out there in my own opinion on my 3-Wide NASCAR podcast show. Hey, you know, stats say, I mean, we saw it last year, so a big win is big, and we got some storylines even outside the playoffs. It's been well documented on this podcast, guys. Just keep that in mind. You got three drivers, Larson, Johnson, Hamlin, all who won last year, on the verge of not winning in 2018. While the flip side of that, a win by any of these eight guys, and you got to have a ticket to the Sunshine State to run for the championship this season. Oh, man, oh, man. Hopefully, it's going to be a good crowd over there in VA, especially what has took place last several years. It's going to get down and dirty up there in the VA this weekend. And hopefully, there's going to be a good crowd to show up out there for the first Data 500 at Martinsville. Coverage on NBCSN. The other network, MRN, has coverage of this race. Martinsville Speedway scheduled 500 laps. Green Flag is scheduled to be after 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 East Coast Time. Y'all can figure it out if you do those on the West Coast side. Man, I am very anxious to see what's going to happen out there. Eight drivers vying for a shot to get to Miami. Only four will move on to race for the ultimate prize. You can follow me on Twitter at 3Wide_FastEddie. Again, Twitter handle at FastEddie_EG3. Oh, man. Let me try that again. At FastEddie. Let me start it over. Okay, Twitter at 3Wide_FastEddie again. One more time. At 3Wide_FastEddie. And of course, you can follow the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3 Podcast Central. You know where to find us. iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox, Deezer, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. Yeah, man, we are all over the place. And if you have not subscribed on iTunes to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3, you guys are missing out. And if you have time on your hands, anytime really, please leave a rate and review. Leave us there, and it helps us out. Not just for me. I'm not doing it just for fame or anything for that, but we will definitely, if you guys have been listening to this podcast all year long, or I've been in and out, or I've been big followers of this podcast, we'd like you to do that. It really helps us get our podcast out there in the world. We've been introduced to a lot of good NASCAR podcasts out there, and we've been fortunate to be a part of that NASCAR movement. So definitely join our movement, spread the word out there about this podcast from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas, baby. We're going to be still rolling and rocking and rolling here in the 2018 playoffs, Big D. And it's only going to get very intense from here. It's Thursday night, and we're around the corner. We're getting around the corner to the weekend here. So definitely looking forward to that. Looking forward to this weekend for multiple occasions. And we'll have one more episode focusing on the entire weekend. I'll have my dark horses and picks for you guys on the next edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast as we get ready for some short track racing on the paperclip style, man. Time to wrap this thing up, Big D. Let's wrap it up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to close the garage on another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Big D, thank you for what you've been doing all year long, doing your thing behind the glass. I'm your host, Eddie Greer III. Thank you for listening to another episode, Stage Break Edition, special look at the round of 8 in the NASCAR, Monster Energy NASCAR playoffs, where tickets will be start handing out this weekend, man. And like I said, this could be a big turning point for somebody in these playoffs. Looking forward to some racing, and we'll be back one more time this week before the action kicks off at Martinsville. Get ready for some short track racing.
Podcast with EG3. Be sure to stay tuned for next episode. Who's moving on and who will be left out? Catch us next time going 3 wide.